Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show. All right, that's cool. That's cool. So we'll talk about feel-good stuff like depression.
You're feeling good already about it, aren't you?
I'm already feeling pumped, ready to go. Not at all depressed.
There should be a really, really happy kid song about depression. You know, like a Sesame Street song? You know, like depression, da-da-da-da.
Oh, we're joking about depression. That's horrible. You're a horrible person.
Yeah, I know. I got no problem with that.
I am obviously not horrible.
You're the best. Yeah. Oh my God, Philip, you're the best.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so this is season 3.
Dun, dun, dun.
Episode 2. Mm-hmm. This is the second episode in our new format.
Yeah.
Basically releasing one of these a week.
Yeah.
I'm already kind of excited because I like focusing on one charity at a time.
I do too.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so this week's episode is going to be about depression, specifically depression in senior citizens.
Yeah.
And how we tackle that. We sat down with a lady named Lisa Slavik. She was the exec. She is.
Yeah.
Not was. She wasn't fired after this interview. She is the executive director of Friend to Friend America.
Yeah.
And and Lisa, how do we put this? She brought a lot of energy.
She did. She admittedly had lots of coffee.
She had lots of coffee and no chamomile tea on her way
down. No. You don't need the hay tea to calm me down before you get on a podcast.
Yeah. But we loved Lisa. We loved her energy. We loved talking with her and really about a subject that is we've had mysterious subjects before, like mental health.
Yeah.
Depression is also a mysterious subject.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's lots of signs of depression.
Yeah.
And they're not always the same.
No, they are not.
And it isn't just, I'm sad.
Yeah, that's
true.
You
know? Like, it's like sometimes people don't do the same work that they did before. Sometimes people don't put in the same effort, or they don't come out, or, you know, they start to develop bad habits. So it's a really interesting conversation.
Yeah.
My name is Philip Kerrigan. I'm the program manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and joining me, as always, is
Heather Lucas, the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
Yeah, that's us. You know what, though? If you're a savvy listener, you already knew that.
You knew that.
Yeah, you know.
I'm horrible. Philip's great. You knew it.
Sure, whatever. So before we dive in to this, this conversation with Lisa, you have a question of the podcast.
All right, so Philip Kerrigan.
Yes.
What tools in your toolbox, your repertoire?
My multiple toolbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have massive toolboxes.
I have a huge
This is getting weird. This is getting weird. Okay.
Sorry.
Shut up. Let's do it over. What tools work the best for you when you're down or depressed?
Oh, wow. This is good. So I like the phrase, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
That's always the one that helps me out a lot. I try as hard as I can. A lot of self-talk is my big thing. I do a lot of that. You know, where you're depressed about the outcome of something, and you know that if you harp on it long enough, it could lead to, you know, more sustained depression.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do, I think, is kind of talk yourself out of it and not like, recognize that the feeling is real.
Yeah.
That the thing that happened to you is real, or that the thing you're going through is real, and there's no need to apologize for feeling the way you feel.
Yeah.
But more like keeping it in perspective. Like, so I do a lot of self-talk. I'm a quote guy, so I'll do a lot of, I'll read quotes.
Yeah.
I'll lean on people that I trust and that, you know, like, are friends or loved ones, which I think is really the ultimate point behind even this interview when we talked to Lisa, mm-hmm. is the idea that, like, what happens if you don't have other people to lean on?
Yeah.
You know, that really does seem like it could just pop, like, you have the initial thing you're depressed about, and then you have this other depression that sets in, like, wow, I have nobody to talk to about it.
Yeah, and that could take you even further down.
Yeah. So I think that's for me. So I think self-talk is really big.
Yeah.
You know, like Stuart Smalley, like looking in the mirror, gosh darn
it, smart
people
enough.
Like me.
I'm good enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So that I do. What about you?
I definitely, like, self-talk is something that I think is a great tool for me as well. But I think more than that, it's just like the basics, like just remembering, like shutting off your brain as much as you can and just doing the basics, getting up, getting dressed, making the bed, make sure that you eat.
Yeah.
You know, make sure
that
you, like, you go outside and get fresh air.
Right.
Just, and not having, like, fighting yourself on that. Cause, like, you know, when you're depressed, you're not wanting to do anything sometimes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
just
like getting those basic things done.
Yeah. Like,
hey, I'm going to take a shower.
Right.
It's not like I'm winning a major battle here. Right. But
it's a step in the right direction. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's the other thing, too, is that, like, sometimes the going through the motions thing is important.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you said, it's not really like you just won a major battle, but you did do something.
Yes,
which
exactly.
Which is good, because otherwise the alternative was you were just going to let everything just eat you up.
Yeah. And do nothing and let it continue.
Yeah. That's good. That's very good.
Yeah. I do what I can.
Yeah. Nice. So we're going to not take up any more of your time talking about our depression.
Because we could have a whole episode about that.
Yeah, we could have a whole therapy session, people. You're not ready for it.
So we've got, what, Michael Jordan, our depression, potatoes.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just keep adding on. One podcast. It'll be 8 hours long. We'll do 3 segments.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
I dig it.
Yeah. So without any further ado, let's toss into the interview with Executive Director Lisa Slavik. So we are here with Lisa Slavik. She is the executive director of Friend to Friend America. Lisa, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So can you give us a little history about Friend to Friend America and what it is you guys do for the community?
Great. Okay, yes. Well, Friend to Friend America has actually been around since the 1970s. And we have been visiting with seniors in nursing homes and group homes and things like that. So what we do is we recruit and train volunteers in the community to visit one-on-one with lonely and isolated seniors. And we visit those people who don't have anyone to visit them, and or people who are surrounded by people that are paid to be there, as opposed to people that want to be there.
Right.
And there's a huge difference in that. There's a lot of fee-for-service entities out there where you can call someone to go and, you know, sit with mom or dad or cook them a meal or do some light housekeeping. They're all over the place.
Right.
But they're $25 an hour.
Yeah.
And our people don't have that much money.
Right.
So our volunteers actually save a senior $75 for each visit we go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because
that's
they'd have
cool.
to pay $75 if they had to pay for someone.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. So we're pretty proud of that. So, and we've been around Western Washington. Our mission for Friend to Friend America was actually to be nationwide.
Oh, wow.
Yes, nationwide. So we had programs in Ohio and different places around the country when the original founder put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another subset under the Church Council of Greater Seattle that was called Friend to Friend.
Oh, okay.
That was the local chapters, things like
cool.
that. So in 2013, our previous directors left because she didn't have funding. So I started in January of 2013 with $500 in the checking account.
Oh, nice.
They didn't tell me that when they hired me.
Yeah, that's nonprofit work for sure there.
It is nonprofit work. Yes, that's for sure. So actually, I do have a second job to keep this going.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So the podcast is about depression.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons why it makes sense to have an organization that helps seniors on the podcast is because not a lot of people know that there are a lot of seniors who go through depression, correct?
Huge, huge. It's a huge, it's one of the top risk factors in ill health in seniors is isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the depression and loneliness. If you don't have someone to live for, you know, you don't often live as long. And we've had seniors that have told us that I was just waiting to die.
Wow.
Literally, I was waiting to die. And now this person comes into my life and I want to be here. I want to be here next Saturday when she comes. I want to get out of bed next week.
Wow.
And they really, some of them don't want to get out of bed until they have a friend.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
It's huge. It's amazingly powerful what
someone saying hello can do for someone.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So when it comes to seniors and engaging mm-hmm. with friends, what kind of barriers do you see when they start to engage with these new visitors?
Barriers to the relationship?
Or like getting them to engage and say, like, get out of bed and, like, interact with them. And
great.
Yeah.
Well, one of the questions is how to do that, and it is really just saying hello.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have a story on our website about one of our volunteers that she literally just popped in to say hello to a gentleman. He was really nonverbal. Mm-hmm. He was unable to speak, and he was pretty catatonic, just laying in his bed looking at the ceiling all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, and she would pop in and say hello. She'd say, "Hi, Eddie."
Mm-hmm.
"Hi, Eddie." He'd never respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'd never respond. And she did this for a month-ish, beyond almost 2 months she'd been stopping in. And one day she was on her way to take her son to soccer practice. And of course she was late.
Uh-huh.
She popped in to say, "Hello, Eddie." He jumped out of bed.
Oh, wow.
And he couldn't talk. He had some sort of an issue where, as a young man, he had consumed some acid and it had ruined his vocal cords.
Wow.
Yeah. So he had the cognitive abilities, but he just couldn't speak. And he didn't have the ability to use sign because he didn't learn it as a child, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was more grunts and gestures and hand pantomime that they learned to communicate. And they became friends. In the last 7 years of his life, he was surrounded by his friend-to-friend family.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
So when do you specifically hook certain people up with certain seniors?
Yeah, great. Yeah. So we do try to do, we have a matching process, and we have an awesome woman in the office right now. Her name is Karen Laffley, and she's amazing. She's practically a volunteer because we pay her so little.
Yeah.
She's a Bowling retiree.
$500 in the bank account will do that.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so, because I'm not getting paid, but I want to make sure she gets paid. So we, she looks at the request form. So we get a request. So if you had a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor that you knew just could benefit from someone else to pop in and say hello, they would fill out a form on our website, and that gives us a little information about the senior. Mm-hmm. And then we look at the volunteer who fills out their form, and they might be interested in fly fishing, and our senior might be interested in crocheting.
Uh-huh.
But you don't know how much those are like, actually.
Right,
so they don't have to have the same interests. They can actually have a really good connection with being, you know, Mars and Venus. They can really have a good connection.
Yeah. Awesome.
And it doesn't matter what they know.
Oh,
they just actually become friends. Yeah. And the challenge is just that we teach our volunteers, unlike myself, to talk slowly and to talk lower, to lower your voice, because I'm a little bit higher pitched. So when I talk to my seniors, I lower my voice, but I don't talk ridiculously slowly or yell at them, because that just makes them feel like they're, hello, you're just yelling at people.
Yeah.
That's not the way you want to talk to people. That makes them feel like you think they're dumb or not with it.
Yeah.
And so we really just tell them to be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you went on our website, we have a couple great examples of our friendships. We had a video. I don't know if you saw that, the King Five story.
No.
They did it. It highlighted three friendships. It was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So in your experience, how important is the aspect of friendship when combating depression?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. It really is. I was just pulling up some articles. Like a UCLA neuroscientist just explained why social connection is as important as food and shelter.
Mm.
It's really that connection. And there are clinical depressions that even a friendship can't touch.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those depressions that are more, I would say, more minor, that aren't needing medication. Or maybe they would, but they wouldn't if they actually had someone to focus on and to have a friendship with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's really, we do make the difference. And it does, you know, people's, their circles go small. My mom, for example, was an avid skier, a cyclist, a walker, hiker, tennis player. And then she had a skiing accident in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell, crashed on a tree, and ended up not able to do the things she could do before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she lost all of her soccer friends.
Yeah.
She had tons of people she knew. They never came to visit.
Right.
She lost her nursing friends.
Yeah.
Once she became unable to go and socialize with them appropriately because she ended up with a neurological condition, then she lost them.
Yeah.
So that's a hardship when people end up losing their ability to be perfect in public.
Mm-hmm.
They sometimes get put away behind the doors.
Oh, yeah.
And we want our volunteers to go in and open those doors and to be there.
Yeah.
Even if they're not perfect.
Oh, that's awesome.
Either side.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Though they do have to pass a background check, so we do want that part perfect.
That one perfect.
Yeah.
That one part of perfect. So.
Yeah. What kind of changes have you seen in clients after they've been paired with a friend?
Oh, just getting out and about. Some of our volunteers on the story, you'd see Wayne and Terry. They actually go to play jam sessions Wayne bought his senior, who's not even that much young, older than he is, but he has a neurological condition that makes him not able to go out and about on his own. Yeah. So Wayne takes Terry, and Wayne brought Terry a bass guitar, like at a garage sale, and they jam on the guitars. So that's a really functional friendship, like mobility-wise. They can do lots of different things. And we have other friends that just, like at Christmas time or the holidays, take them to go around the Christmas tree lights, you know, look at the lights on the houses and things like that. Yeah. Or just sit and have a cup of coffee with. So those changes we see are people really wanting to get out of bed that next day and actually want to maybe, oh, I'm going to think about my outfit a little bit more because I'm not going to let that caregiver just dress me. I've got my friend coming today.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. You know, I'm not just going to be in whatever. So when you're in a care facility, you end up, you know, they're great places, but there are some that are just in, they're just not that dignity. There's the dignity, but there's also the control, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you have toddlers, you know, you give them two choices. Sometimes they're not even given those choices. They're just dressed.
Yeah.
And if they don't have anyone visiting, sometimes they're the last one dressed.
Right.
But we go in and visit, and then we actually can, you know, make sure those facilities are better because they know we're there.
Yeah.
We're those eyes.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do. So the changes in the person is more engagement, more verbal, if possible. Maybe writing letters, singing songs, engaging with the other community members that they live with as well, because they actually can say, well, my friend's here, and they have, you know, that self-importance because they have someone who's there just for them as opposed to someone who's visiting everybody.
Yeah.
That makes sense because it's just your friend.
Yeah.
Like if I was your friend, Heather, I'd be your friend 100%, just your friend. And that's, and I would
Here to see me, Philip.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. So I would say nice things to Philip. Yeah. And I would say nice things to Philip, but I would be there primarily. So when I would leave, you would turn to Philip and say, that was my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would have that.
It's like a pride.
Yeah.
You have someone who's there and they're not paid to be there.
Yeah.
Our volunteers are truly there because they have a heart to serve and they have a heart to make sure someone's day is brighter.
Yeah.
So that's really the difference is when you pay for someone and you hire a service, if that person's sick that day, they're going to send another person that your mom, dad, or auntie doesn't know.
Right, right.
How's that for a friendship?
Yeah, exactly.
So we really walk in, they say hello, they start with a conversation, and then that's how it goes.
Cool.
We've got people that have visited the same person for 17 years.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
So the hard part is we follow them along their progression. Mm-hmm. And we do have seniors and people that pass and they're volunteers. It's hard on
them.
Yeah.
Sure.
I got a text from a volunteer yesterday. Not yesterday, just before the new year. He sent me a text and he said, it's a bad day. One of his seniors, it wasn't even a senior, it was actually a disabled woman. Yeah. This particular person has a cerebral palsy and a nonverbal. And he would make sure that their life was better. You know, if they were, he would just talk with them or read with them or sing with them. They couldn't talk. They couldn't read. They couldn't sing.
Yeah.
But he would do those things. And when he texted me the other day and he said, I'm just so sad she's gone.
Aww.
And he didn't know she was gone. He'd gone to visit her and no one would tell him where she was because he thought she'd gone with her family, had taken her to see the Christmas lights. And he came back the next week and another caregiver nurse had said, she's passed. And sometimes it's hard on our volunteers if the family doesn't let us know that they've passed their senior or their person. So that situation is very interesting with this child, actually teenage 20-year-old. I call that a child. she was in a room and then they moved her to the end of the hallway farthest from the nurse's station.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And he was like, where are her pictures? Where's her stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't put it up. So he said, I want it up. Next week when I'm back, I want it up.
Yeah.
And by golly, it was up.
Awesome.
Nice.
But the question is, would that have happened
if she didn't have somebody?
He didn't have it. She didn't have an advocate.
Yeah,
So we advocate for seniors. So.
Cool.
And peoples.
Yeah. Cool.
Of all disabilities. And so we visit. We don't discriminate.
Nice. Cool.
You don't have to be 65.
That's helpful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you find it when you're working with seniors and your volunteers are working with seniors, is it hard to have a senior open up about depression?
Great question. I think that they do tell you, honestly, a lot of times, I'm just sad.
Mm. Yeah.
Or they'll cry.
Yeah.
Especially, we try to teach our volunteers to use questions that are good conversation questions, but we teach them how to redirect if someone is going to go on, you know, they might just start crying if you say, did you have any children? Well, then they might be bringing up that they might be remembering that they just lost their child.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have a dementia or some sort of a time-lapse dementia, as in an Alzheimer's, they might put themselves back into that moment that their child lost and be truly in that grief.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's a different condition versus just a just, I don't want to say normal, but someone who doesn't have a neurological condition,
yeah,
they might not go back that way.
Yeah.
But if you've ever lost a parent, you know how sometimes you go back and you're like, okay, I can't keep it together, I'm going to cry. So that is something they do share with us, and they do share that sometimes they're just waiting to die.
Yeah.
And that's what, and that would be, I would say they're depressed. Right. If they're telling me I'm just waiting to die. So seniors do share that they're lonely.
Yeah.
They do share. And there's some statistics saying that there are so many that are out there that truly will identify as lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily alone. They're mm-hmm. surrounded by people because they're living in assisted facilities, but they're not there because they want to be there.
Sure.
Or maybe they've lost a spouse and they've been placed there.
Mm-hmm.
They're right. not wanting it. It's not their choice to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
So let's say somebody hears the podcast and wants to start giving to Friend to Friend.
Fantastic.
Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
Huge. Because as we are 100% supported on donations through mm-hmm. the CFD, which is an amazing program. We love the CFD. It makes it very easy for people to give. And it makes it easy for us, the charities, to be involved in it, where some of the other campaigns are not quite so friendly. So every year, this is wonderful. I love the CFD. It's
awesome.
The best.
Thank you.
And it's really... it's really wonderful that people can just give a small portion of their check. And that's nice because they don't even notice it because if you're giving it to us instead of Uncle Sam, probably
should.
You know, that's great. Look at it that way. But $10 is one of those numbers that comes up a lot. We always ask people $10. Well, $10 a month would mm-hmm. give us $120 from one donor, which would be phenomenal. And that would help us serve that senior like a full visit, like a full month's worth of visits. Mm. And it's not that it costs, it's hard to put a dollar figure on what we do.
Sure.
So certain programs, it's certain, like you give $1.42 and you buy a meal for three families.
Yeah.
It's harder to equate what we do. Mm-hmm. We need to keep our lights on. I think of us like as NPR, right? NPR is always like, we need to keep the lights on. We need to do this great reporting. We need to keep the lights on. We need to do this great matching.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that when someone donates to us, what they do is they keep our lights on. They keep our internet working. Mm-hmm. They keep the person in the chair, Karen, that makes that match happening. And that's what they do. And that really, we're a tiniest budget you can imagine.
Yeah.
I found some historical documents. True story.
Uh-huh.
1973 or 1979, our initial business plan came up to $93,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what that's like today's dollars? Like about $500,000 or 470 something and change. We've been running on dancing around that $100,000 mark the last couple of years. And it's the challenge is we don't fit into anybody's corporate giving model.
Right.
But that's where we struggle. So we really count on the CFD and programs like that for individuals that have a heart to serve. And we have some amazing volunteers that we've gotten through the CFD, which
awesome.
Is the best part about the whole thing. Granted, we need the money, we need the lights on, we need the computers, but we need those volunteers because we get new volunteers all the time, and we get new seniors. We get seniors at twice the rate.
Yeah.
And we have this number of, we're hovering at about 100 seniors waiting for matches.
Oh, wow.
Some of them have been on the list for a year. Some of them have been on the list for 2 weeks. It just depends on where the volunteer lives and the senior lives.
Yeah.
So we put them together as a convenient opportunity for both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, money is huge for us. Everything, you know, you need to keep your lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, and I don't get paid right now because we don't have money. So it'd be nice if Lisa could get a paycheck.
Get Lisa paid, people.
Get Lisa paid, people. Not much. Just minimum wage would be great.
That's awesome.
But no, I committed to this program 5 years ago, and I just lost my mom in March.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
it's hard. I really want to make sure that we keep the programs going for people like my mom, who all of her friends left.
Yeah.
She's truly had one left that came on a regular basis.
Right.
And that was like once a week or once every other week. But the others didn't come.
Yeah.
And some lived far away and they tried to come quarterly.
Sure.
But really, the people that were supposedly her friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Once
coming.
Mom couldn't hold her fork
do
the right way.
Do the things that she could do.
Or cut her food the right way.
Yeah.
Or, you know, handle everything else by herself. She wasn't welcome in certain circles. And that's the hard part is you really have to understand that when you get old. Neither of you are old. I'm old. When you get old, you're not as able to lift. You're not as able to move. You're not as able to be quick and speedy. And I just traveled with my dear friend who's 99. We went to New York because she wanted to see the ball drop.
Nice.
Wow.
Yes. So it was, but she's slower, right?
Yeah.
She's an amazing, mentally amazingly sharp. I want to be that sharp when I'm 99.
Right.
Yeah.
but slower and more deliberate in the things she does as far as getting up and getting ready and eating. And you have to have the patience to do that. So our volunteers have that patience, and they don't mind if, you know, a senior's going to, you know, drop a cookie on their lap or spill their coffee. They're going to help them clean that up. You know, we're not caregivers or chore workers in any capacity, but we're not going to embarrass our senior because we're not going to care if they don't eat properly. We're going to still be sitting across the table from them, having contact and saying, hey, how you doing today?
Awesome.
What can I do to make it better? You know, do you want some coffee? Or do you want to share some, you know, drawings or art therapy is another thing that some of our volunteers do with our seniors, just organically.
Yeah.
They just get, they just start drawing.
Yeah.
Nice. Which is kind of cool.
So. Awesome.
So do you have any upcoming events or any programs you'd like to highlight?
Absolutely. We have trainings that we try to offer quarterly.
Okay.
And our next training is January 19th,
2019.
And when I sent the first email out, I put January 2019, forgot to put the other 19 in there. So it's the Saturday. It's at Merrill Gardens in Burien. They're hosting us, and we're really grateful to them. It'll be a little light kind of continental breakfast for our volunteers. And if a volunteer, someone's listening today and wants to volunteer who's never volunteered before, show up. We'll have you fill out an application. We'll get you going, and we'll get you through the training. And there's no charge to participate at all. And we don't believe in having anyone have to pay, which is why we have no money. But we really don't, because we don't want it to be a barrier.
Yeah.
We don't want someone to say, okay, I have my time to give, but I can't become a member.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't want the facilities to have the ability to shut the doors on us because they don't want to have a membership.
Right.
So we truly work directly with the families and the seniors themselves, which is the hardest part when they call me directly and they want a friend. You're talking to that senior who says, I don't have anyone to talk to.
You
know, that's the part that gets you. But yeah, we have that. And we also have in November, mark your calendars, the first Saturday in November, we're going to have our second annual Sunset Social. And that'll be at the Columbia Tower in Seattle.
Ooh,
nice.
Yeah, we had this year. It was really cool. It was a silent auction. Yeah. And yeah, it was a really wonderful event to try to raise some money for Friend to Friend. And keeps our lights on for the next 3 months, which is great. Lisa's still not getting paid, but the lights are on.
That's good. It's a good place to start.
And so we're looking, so keeping up on our website, which is our friendtofriendamerica.org. Always watching. There we're working on, we need volunteers if anyone wants to help us with the website.
Okay.
We need more help because I went into the slider myself and I
broke it
and I got locked out of it by the volunteer that was helping us, so now I need another volunteer that will help that so I don't have to break the website anymore. Because I am an ED, not an IT.
Awesome. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and tell you a little bit about what we do, and we welcome anyone. Our doors are always open. Come volunteer, donate, get involved, and if not with us, someone else. That's the key. Make sure people, you know that everyone has a passion out there, and find it, get involved, and make a difference.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, and that was our interview with Executive Director Lisa Slavik. Here's what's crazy. We don't have another charity to toss you to.
Yay.
Now you're going to hear more of our stupid voices.
Yay!
So, Ms. Lucas.
Yo.
You have some facts and figures.
Yeah, I do.
All right, hit me with it.
So, like, this is an episode about depression. Mm-hmm. So, like, there are quite a few different forms of depression, like psychotic depression, postpartum. There's seasonal affective disorder. I don't know. Like, I feel like this
year. My mom says she has that.
Yeah, I feel like this year a lot more people are kind of going through that than normal. So, like, severe depression, major depression, like, that's, you know, we kind of talked a little bit. Like, you know, that affects the ability to work, eat.
Yeah.
Like, get up and be.
Yeah.
So, and when it comes to seniors, it is common in seniors, but with seniors, there is a little bit of kind of a disconnect with, is this depression or is this a side effect of medication that you're taking?
Yeah.
Or is this a side effect of something that's happening to you, like your body, you're getting older. Signs of dementia also have similar symptoms with depression.
Right.
So it's not always recognized right away.
Yeah.
But I was looking up depression in context to suicide risk, and the second highest suicide rate in the United States occurs in people 85 years or older.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is a big deal.
Right, right.
It is absolutely a big deal. And then I did find some stuff with people talking about, like, what depression means, because, you know, like, some people say, well, you're just sad.
Yeah.
No, that's not always how it is. one person on Twitter said they never felt sad. They just felt useless, useless and heavy, just so heavy at everything they ever did.
Right, right.
Someone said they felt aggressively apathetic.
Mm. Yeah. Aggressively apathetic.
Yeah.
I didn't even think those two words could go together.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They could not even bring themselves to worry that they don't care.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah. You are aggressively apathetic.
Aggressively apathetic, right? That makes sense. And then there was this, you know, there's always like randomly like a Twitter thread that'll catch fire. And somebody last year said something about depression being a choice.
Yeah.
So celebrities got on board and were like, you are wrong.
Wow.
And let this person know.
Yeah.
And Andy Richter was one of those people. And he said that when people say you can overcome this if you just try enough, that's pretty much saying your pain is making me uncomfortable. Please shut up.
Right, right.
You know, so it's yeah. something that 16.2 million adults have at least one depressive episode.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And then I did find something that I did think interesting mm-hmm. in treatment for depression.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a ton of new stuff.
Yeah.
In the last 50 years regarding like, yeah. how you treat depression. But of all the things out there, the ability of ketamine to produce a rapid and efficacious antidepressant response is considered the most important finding in the depression field in the last 50 years.
Ketamine?
Yeah, it's not good for you.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's...
What is this?
Ketamine is like the... it's like a heroin.
Oh, sweet. Kinda. Yeah, it's like absolutely.
A, what do they call those? Opioids? Yeah,
it's
there
an
you
opioid.
Go.
There yeah. you go. It's one of the most effective things.
Yeah. Yeah, so sure. I don't think, I mean, like, I'm not a doctor or anything, but treating depression with Special K, maybe not the best choice.
Special K. Yeah, no, I don't like that.
No.
That's not very cool.
No.
The only other thing I have to add,
yeah,
to your statistics,
go
is a study done by Robert Waldinger. He was the director of Harvard's study of adult development.
Yeah,
he followed a set of people for 75 years.
Okay,
and he did everything. Sat down, did focus groups,
uh-huh.
took blood samples, brain scans, all sorts of different stuff
okay.
for over 75 years. And he found that the clearest message from the 75-year-old study was that good relationships keep people happier and healthier than money, status, fame, any of those sort of things. It's always good relationships with people that you trust and love. So I think that, to me, I don't know that there's ever going to be a pill
that can replace people.
That can replace just your interaction with
yeah,
other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes it hurts. Like, physically, you're like, oh, I got to talk to these people.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually does you good
yeah.
to, like, have adult relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you didn't have that, I mean, if there was something, like, within, say, virtual reality where
mm-hmm.
you're forging a relationship with some character or
yeah.
whatever virtual yeah. reality thing. Oh, as soon as you're done with that world,
right.
you're by yourself.
Right.
So you're going to have somebody there.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, how many times do you wake up and you go, oh, cool, I'm hanging out with this person tonight. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, all
you
the time, right?
Yeah, you don't wake up and go, sweet, I get to take another pill today.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks that.
Sweet, I get to see my fake friends who don't exist on any plane except
right.
in my mind.
Right. So I think it is true. I think that like good relationships, good friendships, it's really important.
Yeah.
So the work that Friend to Friend America are doing, or people like that who are connecting
and making friends
I think that's it's really noble work they're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we don't have many upcoming events. We do have a few gatherings that we're going to do in March.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be our recognition events. We're going to do those around the state. We'll probably have one in Spokane, a nice little luncheon, TBD on the date.
Yeah.
And so then also look for the Snow King and Thurston County recognition events around that time as well.
Yeah.
I think that, overall, we look forward to introducing the, new theme and new publications kind of, this is a kind of a cool podcast because what we are doing is going to be very much geared toward relationships and connecting with people and like being that sort of good that you want to portray
yes,
in the world.
So this podcast hopefully will connect.
Yes.
And build relationships.
Yes, exactly. So we won't reveal that today, but we will as we get further down the road with the podcast for good. We are excited. We have figured out what our theme is. We have kind of begun that sort of process, but
yeah,
we don't want to reveal it yet to everybody.
Nope.
We will reveal it later.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, you better. That means you got to keep saying. That means you got to keep listening.
That's right.
All right. So anyway, folks, that was episode 2. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.